going to go to the Lord in prayer. I want Brother Gary Coffey to lead us, if you would, please. And I want to pray for God's divine protection upon the church. It will be horrible if churches get started back having service to have somebody spread the virus and a bunch of church people get sick. Our God is in charge, and we don't want to do anything that causes people to doubt the Lord or accuse the Lord. So we need to be wise in our way we worship and gather. And I hope the distancing this morning, and Satish, you weren't supposed to sit on that pew with the X's, but now that you are sitting there, you have to stay there, okay? And the ushers were supposed to explain that when you came in the door. So there's offering plates at the back. If you brought an offering, we won't receive an offering. You can drop it in the offering plate going out. That way you don't handle the plate back and forth to everybody. One of the main things is washing your hands. And anything you touch that you have any suspicion somebody else touched it before you, then go wash your hands. The restroom, ladies' room over here, has antibacterial soap. But they say you don't have to have that if you just use soap and wash for a good 30 seconds and make sure your hands are clean, get between your fingers and all that. Back at the back on this side in the fellowship hall, the men's room has some. We didn't have any empty bottles to put the antibacterial in because Jerry couldn't find it when he needed soap. He bought some just regular soap. Regular soap will work. Just briskly wash for at least about 30 seconds. And so we're just going to do all we can to be careful to protect you and to be a blessing to each other. And it's so good to see you. I've missed you. I'm glad you're here today. Thank you for coming. So Brother Gary is going to pray for us and ask God's help and protection. And we want God to hedge about the church. Now we got some bad storms coming Monday, Tuesday, then rain Wednesday and Thursday. These are not a direct result of the hurricane. The hurricane is dropped down to a tropical storm and is skirting the coast of North Carolina going back out. But this is coming from Arkansas, and they're having hail and tornadoes and all that sort of thing, and it's coming across the country. And we may get a little something from the hurricane, may get a little something from that. We don't know, but let's ask God to protect us from the storm coming as well as the virus and protect our homes and property. Hail damage is a terrible thing, and so I hope you are safe from that. Dolores' mother passed away last night, and here she is in church today. And her husband just died 2 years ago? Year and a half ago in a car accident. And so we just, you know, our heart goes out to her, and there'll be a very limited funeral service for her mom. So Dot Bennett was her name. She was 88 years old. She'd been in the hospital. She did not have the virus. She had age-related health. She did not have a stroke, okay. But she could not listen to the doctor, give response, you know, that kind of thing. So we assumed it was stroke-like symptoms. But remember her in prayer. And then Nadia is sitting on the front up here today. And she's a first-time visitor. She's from upstate New York. I was hoping Chris was going to be here. Chris lost this. Somebody found it and sent me an email because my sermons and stuff are in here. Jeff Wills, one of your Sunday school lessons, is in here too. So I can read that now and might get you in trouble, you know, or vice versa. And she's supposed to come today and pick it up, but she's from upstate New York, Buffalo area, I think is where she's from. And I wanted you to meet her. She's moved into the Indianland area. She's from a good independent Baptist church up in New York. The pastor called me, and he's gun barrel straight. He grilled me for about 10 minutes on what we believed and how we practiced and all that before he gave her a recommendation to come visit with us. So, and Brother Sprague, we're staying at the campground. And the guy staying in the camper right beside us is a Marine I've known for a number of years. His name is Guy Bailey. And Guy's in the Marine Corps League and has met you because of that. So watch out the next time you go to one of those meetings. He may say that I've been saying a bunch of bad things about you to tease you, you know. Be prepared, you know. So good to have each of you here. God bless you. Is anybody in any extended family member exposed or have the virus? I know the Clark's son got exposed where he worked and had to be in quarantine. Is he okay?
Yeah.
No symptoms at this point. Okay. Anybody else? No extended? Yeah, your family in Alabama had it and got over it. Praise God. So we're thankful for that, and we pray for God's protection and safety. Brother Jeff had to quarantine a little bit, but he's fine, didn't have any symptoms. Praise the Lord for that. Did you go back to work Thursday?
Yes. Yeah, the doctor's fine, too. He didn't even know he had 66 overweight, got some health issues.
Looked like the preacher, huh?
What?
He looked like the preacher.
I won't say that. I'll just say this, he didn't even know he had
it. Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Praise God. Gary, I'm sorry. Thank you. Lead us in prayer, if you would, please.
Lord, we are so grateful that we can be here this morning. I think of David, who said in the song, "You love the habitation of that house, where your name is honored and glorified." Lord, we pray. Thank you this morning. We're able to be here. Lord, we just pray that you put your hand of protection upon us. Keep everybody healthy and safe. We know that you hold life and death in your hands. And
yes.
So you're in control of all these things. We just pray that you'd give guidance and wisdom to pastor and the services. We pray that you'd give guidance and wisdom to the administration, to this country, to all the people in authority.
Yes.
So they might make the right decisions.
Please,
Lord, we just pray for your protection. Now, Lord, we just pray that you'd be a pastor this morning as he preaches. Anointing with thy power, Lord. Use the message to speak to hearts. We pray that it might be encouraging. It might be able to go away today and say it was good to be in the house of God again. Lord, this morning we do think of Dolores and her family. We pray, Lord, that you might just give her the comfort that only you can give. Pray, Lord, that you might meet her needs during this difficult time of losing her mother. We pray, Lord, that you might just bring comfort during the time of the funeral and
yes.
During this time, Lord, just watch over her. We thank you for her faithfulness. And Lord, pray now that you bless every aspect of the service. May we bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Turn your sheet over there to Blessed Assurance. You can remain seated, and we're going to sing Blessed Assurance. There's Chris. Got your book here. Who's that with you? That's your daughter? Welcome. Good to see you. All right. Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Sing the second. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. On that first praising my Savior in the chorus, we're going to hold that out a little bit this time, okay? Praising my Savior. We'll hold that out a little bit. Notice the words in that song, verse 2, about visions of rapture now burst on my sight. This song was written by a lady that was blind, Fanny Crosby. And amazing poems and songs that she wrote. Verse 3, let's sing it together. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. Good singing. Thank you very much. The reason we printed the copies and asked not to use the hymnals is because we have to clean them after the service. And cleaning them with that antibacterial spray and stuff like that, we may get into pages and, you know, we don't know which pages you turn to, so we'd almost have to clean every page of the book to be absolute about it. So we'll get back to regular time at some point in time. Right now the school systems are gearing up for the fall for school to start back. And they're already issuing all kinds of protective measures, thinking that we could have a resurgence of this stuff in the fall. We're just going to pray and ask God's protection and live life without fear. God would have us not to be in anxiety and fear. But let us rely upon Him and ask for His protection and safety. So again, thank you for being here this morning. We welcome everybody joining us on live stream. We thank you for watching. We've had a lot of great compliments. Now, we've had to move our camera because of folks being here today. And we're sitting in every other pew, and every other pew has people in it. Excuse me. And we have a group down at the gymnasium. Brother Jacob is preaching down there. The teenagers and some of their families are down there. And so I've divided the seating where we could scatter out real good. And we will have a service at 6 o'clock tonight. There'll just be one service up here in the auditorium at 6 o'clock. And we'd love to have you come. But if you're sick, stay home. Tommy came today, but he just got out of the hospital on Wednesday. And he needs to be a little careful, you know. He didn't have the virus. He had kidney infection and dehydration and some things that affected his gallbladder. But pray for him to get well, and we're glad he's able to get out. Turn in your Bibles with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to look at quite a few scriptures today. If you want to turn when I announce them and read along, that's great. But if you can't turn that fast before I start reading, you might jot down the references so you can look them up this afternoon. Always be sure that when the preacher's preaching, he's preaching what the Bible says, not what his opinions are. First Corinthians chapter 10, I'll begin with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye. Baptists should underline that in their Bible. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and that means an example. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So this is an example to us from the past, from the nation of Israel, of how the church is experiencing things today, and there's a comparison to what we're going through and what they went through. And we're to remember the Old Testament scriptures as an example to us. We have some folks that believe you ought to just, you know, leave the Old Testament completely out and just stay with the New Testament church epistle letters. And I love the New Testament church epistle letters. I have a great respect and love for the Apostle Paul. I long to sit down with him after I sit down with Jesus about 1,000,000 years. I want to sit down with the Apostle Paul and pick his brain a little bit in heaven, I hope. But I understand from the scriptures, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. And it's all profitable for us as believers. And so it's important that we recognize the examples that are given. Our walk with God today has examples from the nation of Israel. Over in Ephesians, if you want to turn there, in chapter 4 and verse 17 of Ephesians, the scripture shows us how we're not to walk, as they were not to do these things of idolatry and fornication and what they did in the wilderness, murmuring and complaining against God and Moses. Chapter 4, verse 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." We have people we love who are lost. They're not saved. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They can't understand Scripture because that's given to us who are believers. The Holy Spirit enables us, enlightens us in the Word of God. And so people are in darkness. They're in sin, just like Israel was in darkness in a sinful place down in Egypt before God delivered them. Now, our walk today looks at these examples. In chapter 5 and verse 15, the scripture says we're to walk carefully. We're to watch where we're stepping. We're to look out. In chapter 5, verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." We live in a wicked world. The Bible says in Galatians that Christ died to deliver us from this present evil world in which we live. And boy, all you got to do is look at television today and see news media and politics, and you see more deception and lies and working against the truth and righteousness. It's just amazing that our country has come that far. People have always been that way, but they weren't as vocal and as public and as adamant about it as they are today. And so God help us to live in this world carefully, to walk watching our footsteps. If you walk through the woods, you got to be careful. You can step in a stump hole. When a tree dies, it begins to rot, and eventually the stump will rot completely away. Termites will eat it, and it will rot from weather, and it will leave a hole in the ground where the roots and all were, where that was sticking up. And if you step in one of those, you sink up to about your knee almost. And you could break a leg if you're walking rapidly and not paying attention. You got to walk carefully when you walk in the woods. You also, this is warm weather. So you know what happens in the South in warm weather? The copperheads come out of hibernation. And they look just like leaves. Now, they're not the kind of snake that when you wake up in the morning at your house that you got to worry about one of them wanting to attack you. But if you walk through the woods and you step on one, they could bite you. I had a friend who threw a wrench at one trying to kill it. And the wrench bounced on the ground and jumped over the snake, and it rolled on a good ways. He walked over there and was going to pick the wrench up, and that snake went the length of its body and bit him in the hand. And he went to the hospital. They had to split the bone open in his finger to get the poison out of the marrow. They warned him he could have lost his hand because of that. You see, we live in a world that sin and evil is all around us just like that. And Satan is the serpent that was in the wilderness. He lives by deception, and he's wily. And he works against us, and he worked against Israel, and we've got to be careful. over in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 through 11, again, the scripture is telling us how we are to live and how we are to walk. It says in chapter 2, verse 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." We're to live this life like strangers and pilgrims of this society. We're just passing through this life. Our home is in heaven with the Lord, and that's where our focus needs to be. That's who we need to glorify and who we need to live for. And we need to be good examples as we're passing through. We're not to get settled down in this present life with the sinful people among whom we live. Live a life that praises God who called us out of the darkness, just like he called Israel out of Egypt. First of all, in Egypt today, like our friends in the world around us, they need to be saved. Israel needed redemption. And every person born has a sinful nature except Christ. And we need redemption. Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins, to redeem us so that we might be saved and have a home in heaven. People around us are enslaved to the sins of the flesh and the darkness of this world. It seems to be getting darker and darker. It seems as if Christianity had a good stronghold in America at one point in time, but the percentage of people who are genuinely saved and really live for God seems to be so far outnumbered now by the unsaved that we've lost effect and lost power to make decisions among our nation. We need a deliverer in order to be saved. God raised up Moses to lead Israel out of bondage, and Moses was a type of Christ as he interceded with God on behalf of the nation of Israel because they sinned. God provided redemption for them through the Passover lamb. The lamb's blood was shed and it was put on the doorposts of their homes, and everybody inside the homes where the blood had been applied were safe when the death angel came and the death of the firstborn in every home died of man and beast. But those homes where the blood had been applied were safe and free. You've been saved by the grace of God if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. We need to rejoice in that. We need to praise God in that. We don't need to get discouraged by the problems of the world or the sins of the flesh. We need to give God the praise, honor, and glory he deserves because he has redeemed us from our sins. We experienced deliverance once we got saved, just like Israel experienced deliverance when they crossed the Red Sea and went into the wilderness toward the promised land. When they got up the morning after they had eaten the Passover and put the blood on their homes, they started the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that was the symbol of taking away sin, taking away leaven, which is a symbol of sin. When you got saved, Christ took your sins and buried them as deep as the ocean is deep and cast them as far as the east is from the west, and they're never to be recalled against you again, the scripture says. Thank God for forgiveness of our sins. Thank God for salvation. Thank God he reached down in the pits of sin to save some of us and cleansed us and put our feet on a solid rock. And just like Israel, that rock is Jesus Christ. God went before them as they crossed the Red Sea, and he led them in the way. Back in Exodus 13, if you want to turn there with me, got a couple of verses I'd like to point out from chapter 13 and chapter 14 as we think about what 1 Corinthians 10 said about this being our example, and they're written for our admonition. Romans 15:4, I did not turn and read, but it says basically the same thing, that the scriptures are for our example and for our admonition. Exodus 13, verse 17. It came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry my bones away hence with you. They took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So this pillar of fire guided them and led them, and God has given us the completed Word of God as our roadmap. And he has given us his Spirit to enable us to be enlightened, to understand what the will of the Lord is and how we're to walk with God and live for God and avoid the sins of this present world. Look at chapter 14 if you're there. And verse 13 says, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Now, friends, we're in a day and time that's different than anything we've ever been in. And it's easy to get scared. It's easy to have fears. But God doesn't want his people to live by fear. Just like Israel was at the Red Sea with the Egyptian army coming down on them, and Moses told them not to fear. I've been in some foxholes that I dug in Vietnam, and I'll be honest with you, I was scared to death a lot of times. When the shooting starts and the mortars start firing and the flares start lighting up, and you see tracer rounds going this way and that way, and it's pretty hard not to be afraid. And we live in a war zone of this present world in which we live. But God would have us not to be afraid, because he will deliver us. And God gave Moses the understanding of what he was about to do. He divided the Red Sea. He told Moses, stand up there and take his rod. The Egyptians shall know, verse 18, the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. God separated Israel from their enemies. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, the Bible talks about the fact that we are to separate from unrighteousness and sinfulness in this present world in which we live. God used the cloud to separate his people that day, and God's Spirit guides us to be separated from sinfulness. Israel went into the place where the waters divided. Verse 19 and 20 speaks of the angel of the Lord guiding and protecting. They crossed on dry ground, but when Egypt tried to do the same, verse 29, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Oh, the power of our God. God's in charge of the weather. We pray to him for divine protection. They walked through on dry ground with the water walled up beside them on both sides. But they were secure and free And as the more they took steps, the more I'm sure their confidence built that their amazing God they serve was able to do this. And then they saw God close the waters on the Egyptians that followed them, because lost people aren't going the same place where saved people are going. No matter how much we care about them, no matter how much they're related to us, no matter how good or moral they might be, if they don't know Christ as Savior, friends, they're not going where we're going. And they're going to suffer judgment for all their sins instead of having forgiveness and protection that God has given to us. God knows how to protect His people. God knows how to provide for His people. Our church has been blessed that the church has not gone backward in giving at all. We have not had to dig into any savings or anything of that nature. We have helped several families who experienced some kind of need, but it's been more because of medical bills than it has been because of the virus or being out of work. Most of our folks haven't missed work, and if they have, they work from home, or they're like a lot of y'all sitting out here. You're my age or older, you're already on fixed income anyway, so it hadn't had any effect. How many of y'all got a stimulus in the mail? Most of you. Many of you did. You know what? We didn't get one. We tried to go online with the IRS and find out why, and Joy tried, and I tried. We both tried about 3 times. It wouldn't even take our information. It said that wasn't my Social Security number, and that wasn't my date of birth. And then finally, after the 3rd time, it said, you may not be eligible for a stimulus. I said, why didn't you tell me that to start with? You know, the reason I'm not eligible is because I'm a pastor of a church. It's not because of the amount of income that I make. I'm not disqualified because of that. I want you all to know that. But we leave that in the hands of the Lord. God's provided for us. We're taken care of. We're not spending as much money normally except for what we eat. And y'all can tell I probably put on about 10 pounds. I saw an old timer the other day riding his golf cart through the campground. Boy, his belly was stuck way out here while he was sitting riding. I thought he'd been cooped up way too long, you know, not able to get out and do anything, and eating 3 meals a day at the house. Boy, we got to be careful. You can put weight on if you're the kind of person like I am that can put weight on easy. We got to be careful. God provides for us, and He's provided for you, and we thank God for that. The day will come when Christ will come in the clouds and call us up to be with Him forevermore, and we'll leave this world behind. And as I've said many times, it'll be too late for us to call our family members, too late to witness to anyone, too late to try to appeal to somebody to be saved. Friends, now is the time for us to do that. Because when Christ takes us out of this world, as far as this world's concerned, it'll be over for us. We'll be with the Lord, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, the lost are going to be left behind, and boy, it'll be amazing if they survive the tribulation. There will be preaching. There will be people get saved in the tribulation. But I really believe the vast majority of those that get saved will be those that live in dark countries that haven't had the gospel preached to them, and haven't had the opportunities that we have here in America. And some will get saved, but many will die as a result of becoming Christians in the tribulation. And then the Lord will come back at the end of the tribulation and put His feet on the Mount of Olives, and He'll fight for the nation of Israel and deliver them. And then He's going to set up a kingdom on this earth. There's a lot still to happen, but if you're saved, when Christ comes to take us to heaven, friends, all the problems, all the sin, all the dangers, all the fears are all over. We'll be just like He says in Revelation, that God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no more crying, no more sorrow. That's not for that time, but that's the same principle. In the rapture, we will be in that kind of position because we have experienced the full salvation deliverance of a new body. And thus shall we ever be with the Lord. So now we need to learn to enjoy the Lord. We need to follow Him as He leads us on the journey. We need to enjoy our relationship. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse and verse 1 through 4. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a living hope in Jesus Christ. Verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, you old timers have been here a long time. You've heard me say this 50 times, so I've had people quote it to me often. In this world, everything will rust, bust, and collect dust. But there's coming a time where we're going to have a reward in heaven that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We need to enjoy that relationship with God. We need to look forward to what we have. And we need to be people of faith and people who glorify God and people who tell of His goodness and how He saved us. He's promised us an inheritance. Israel's inheritance in the Old Testament was earthly. They were looking not for heaven. They were looking to go to the land where Israel lives today, the land God gave to Abraham. And that was what the focus of their reward was on. Our focus as Christians is on heaven, that we'll be in the kingdom with them, and then we'll be in a new heaven and a new earth for all eternity. But when we think about death, we think about heaven. They thought about going to the place where God had prepared for them. And God's preparing a place for you in heaven, in the Father's house. God's power kept Israel, and God keeps us secure in salvation. Rejoice that you're saved. God loves you. What Christ has provided for you. That doesn't mean that the journey won't be difficult at times. Israel faced the hardship of going through the wilderness and going over to the promised land and crossing the Red Sea and crossing Jordan. They got tired. They got thirsty. They got hungry. And you live in this life, and there'll be battles that you'll go through, temptations and trials. Israel had to pass through the 10 Canaanite nations to get to where they were going. And most of them wanted to kill the nation of Israel, and they still do today. All their cousins, descendants of Abraham, they are Moslems, M-O-S-L-E-M, descendants of Abraham. But those of the Islamic faith are Muslim, M-U-S-L-I-M. That confuses a lot of people. These tribes wanted to destroy them. And Satan wants to destroy you. He can't take your soul because God saved you and God keeps you. But he can reduce your effectiveness in reaching others. So we must walk carefully because Satan is out there. And he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. In Exodus 34, we hear God describe himself, and I'll close with that this morning. If you'll turn there, Exodus 34. Brother Dick's speaking tonight. Hope you'll be back at 6 and hear him for our visitor. And any of you that don't know, Brother Dick, it's a master's degree from Bob Jones University, pastored for 19 years, and he's going to bring a message tonight. And then next week, I believe Brother Jeff's scheduled to speak next Sunday night. Brother Jeff, graduate of Ambassador, and has also been a pastor. And Brother Gary preached. Brother Jerry preached. Brother Jacob will preach the last Sunday night. And it's a blessing to have these godly men who have training theologically and know the Bible to speak in the church. And I'm happy to share the pulpit with them. Exodus 34, verse 5. This is the Lord speaking to Moses. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation. Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. God is merciful and gracious, and he forgives sins and transgressions for those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and confess to him that they have sinned. And we can understand the joy of sins forgiven and having a home in heaven. And we need to bow and worship the Lord just as Moses did that day. If we walk with God in the light and not in darkness, if we confess our sin and seek to obey him and follow the path of righteousness, we'll experience fellowship with God and with God's people as we are here this morning. Thank you for coming today. God bless you. And those of you watching at home, we thank you. Stay with us. Next week or two, we're expecting to bring in a camera that we paid about $4,000 for. That's supposed to give us the kind of quality on the Facebook videos that we're seeking. And it'll make it a little easier for you to watch. And, of course, I don't know. It will be a clearer picture of me than it has been. And I've been resisting this for years. Brother Jared has tried many times to get us to buy a camera and go on video. And I said, I don't have a face for it. I got a face for radio, not a face for camera, you know. But you folks have been gracious to compliment, you know, what we're doing, and it's been a blessing to many. And we've had many people watching who are not attending the church, so we think it's the right thing to do to buy the camera and to put it up and continue to do this no matter how long the virus situation is a problem. We're going to continue to do live streaming from now on. And I look forward to having the choir sing and all those kind of things to happen. And hopefully about the 1st of June, if we get, you know, clearness, if we haven't had a problem from having service, then we'll get started back with Sunday school and we'll get started back with choir. And we look forward to that day. Thank you for being here. God bless you. If you want to help us clean some of the pews, be sure not to move the X's on the pews where folks were not sit. That way we know which pews to clean and which ones not to. And if anybody touched a hymn book to look at a song or something, let us know. Leave it in.